Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Mercy and peace be unto thee from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the five stanzas. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, as such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows, Psalter 278, the five stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Timothy 1. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, and neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is for the second time on this holy day of rest. It is the last time in this day, and also the last time in this year, that we and our dear children may come to thy house. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to impress divine realities and the solemnity of the evening upon all of our hearts. Ah, Lord, leave us not cold, unmoved, untouched. Were on such an evening, then thou wert speaking unto us and our children in a special way, that everything here below shall come to an end, that we have no continuing city, that one thing needful. Lord, then thou yet maketh the difference where there is no difference. It is pleased thee by the cold hand of death to take two members out of her midst, our oldest member, a dear mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and sister, and also a dear wife, mother and grandmother and sister. Lord, wilt thou remember, and wilt thou uphold with all the mourning families in our midst, were different families, were called upon to bury beloved ones, both young and old, and the empty places of former years, they remain empty. And then on such an evening, then they are felt in a special way. Lord, in the last hours of this year that has quickly run its course, then it should be an hour of thanksgiving, an hour of prayer, an hour of bewilderment, an hour of confession, an hour of being ashamed. Lord, we humbly ask Thee, wilt Thou grant Thy Spirit in this evening hour reasons to acknowledge Thee, that in the seriousness of the times wherein this year Thou wast spoken upon this world with earthquakes, with fires, with wars, many countries where the persecution has increased, and another year where the rulers of the nations, so blinded as instruments of the devil to prosper his agenda, are trying to erase the two roses which Thou wast left out of paradise. But, O Lord, it shall never be, because it is two roses which Thou wast given, the rose of marriage and the rose of the Lord's day, and Thou shalt keep them until the great day of judgment. And then in the midst of all Thy judgments, in the midst of all the turmoil, then Thou wast granted unto us and our children, in the midst of all the trials and difficulties, so many blessings, they cannot be numbered. Thou wast granted unto young people that they may be united in holy matrimony for the first time together as husband and wife to come to the end of a year. Thou hast blessed many family circles with the birth of children, granted many anniversaries, spared different ones in accidents. Many among young and old have been in the hospital and may return home. Thou hast granted food for man and beast. We may have a dwelling to live in, a church to gather in. Lord, may we be humbled under Thy goodness, and to closely examine our hearts where all Thy goodness and where all Thy blessings have brought us, whether at Thy throne of grace oftentimes, with a humble and broken heart, with the vehement desire that Thou may be honored and glorified, or whether there was a further departing from thy ways, then it should also be an hour of examination where thou wast granted that thy word may be brought in the family circles, daily thy word opened, brought in the church, and in our Christian school. And then we do well in this evening to examine our hearts closely, whether it has been profitable to our soul, whether it has been for the saving of our soul, whether it is well with us. O Lord, if it is not well with us, if we are still unconverted, ah, may many a soul have come up to thy house with solemn thoughts, burdened, distressed, under all thy goodness, all thy solemn callings, the seriousness of the times, and then no fruit, still unconverted, ah, Lord, then thou canst still make it well by thy free and sovereign grace before the end of this year. That would be a great wonder. And thou art a wonder-doing God. May many among young and old have come up with that prayer. And for thy Zion to examine how it has been with that thanksgiving, that gratitude, with their faith, ah, thou hast a people upon the earth that oftentimes must be ashamed of their unbelief and even of their murmuring. Thou hast a people upon the earth, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, and then to examine where they are encamped, to examine concerning the knowledge of thy dear Son, whose name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Lord, may it please thee in this very hour to truly bind the seriousness, the solemnity, and the shortness of life, the certainty of death, of judgment and eternity upon all of our hearts. Ah, Lord, thou wast granted another year of grace, another year where thou wast put so much dung around the tree of our life, and where thou canst say in this evening, what more could have I done unto my vineyard that I have not done unto it, Lord? Ah, may it then be in this evening that thou comest down with thy Spirit, with thy power, and with thy blood. Thou grantest this precious time of grace, that we may be born again. To that end, then we remember all our boys and our girls. Thou also knowest how they have come up to thy house. Ah, may there have been among them that have begged thee, for a new heart. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how it is with our boys and girls. We remember our young people. Ah, work lovingly in their hearts. Thou also knowest how it is with them. We need a heart that may be given to make that good choice. We commend unto thee all the middle-aged, some younger, some older, and the busyness of life, a great privilege and a great blessing. When thou wast granted health and strength to perform our labors, the fathers for the daily bread, the mothers in the midst of the family circles, but to examine also under our labors whether there were those special times, busy with our soul, with the saving thereof, with the prayer to the living God, to experience those special tokens of thy loving kindness. Remember our elderly ones. They have also come 1 year closer to that never-ending eternity. Remember them in our care home, those that may still go in and out. The young can die, and the old must die. O Lord, above all things, ah, for the unconverted has become late, has become very late, but not too late for thee. We remember all the trials and all the difficulties. Remember the sick and afflicted, those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. There are amongst us with grave concerns. Their thoughts shall also multiply on the last evening of this year. Grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Sick relatives in different places. The circumstances are all known unto thee. And when in this evening hour we may be in thy house, and when we are healthy and strong, we know there are sick amongst us, wilt thou grant healing. But when thou hast spared us, no empty places in the family circle. Ah, may we not forget thy kindness and thy long suffering. And may it then be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to that repentance. Ah, that godly sorrow, Lord. Then we are called to examine each our hearts, how we have used our time, our goods, and our talents, whether it was only for self, or whether it was also for thee. Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that has become busy, oh, it is true. Oftentimes they need to be as the publican, the back of the temple, smiting upon their breast because of their ingratitude, their lukewarmness, their pride, exercised more with their kingdom than the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But the eternal wonder that thou wast sent thy dear Son upon the world, that even the chiefest of sinners may and shall be saved, Lord. May it please thee to do a great work amongst us and our dear children. We now humbly ask thee, wilt thou lead us in thy truth divine? May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. For each and every one of us, there shall be a last Old Year's Eve. May we be given to hasten for our life's sake. May we be bound more and more together at thy throne of grace, pleading with thee that thou may have respect unto thy covenant, and that thou may convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people. Lord, grant then a few words to speak. Remember the hearers. Remember those in their dwellings that cannot be with us. Grant them also a blessing. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 247, the six stanzas. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, and what follows. Psalter 247, the six stanzas. in this evening hour. With the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Our text words speak of a doxology concerning the King, for examination on Old Year's Eve, with three thoughts. In the first place, a doxology upon deep reflection. Secondly, a doxology with a royal address. And thirdly, a doxology with a vehement yearning. A doxology concerning the King, for examination on Old Year's Eve. A doxology upon deep reflection, because our text begins with now. A doxology with the royal address unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And thirdly, a doxology with a vehement yearning, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus first, a doxology upon deep reflection. My fellow travelers, to that never-ending eternity, when the Lord shall grant it, then within 4.5 hours, then the year of our Lord, 2023, shall have run its course. And may it please the Lord to leave us not cold, because congregation, it can even be in such a solemn evening that we remain cold and untouched. Have you asked congregation in this evening that the Lord may remember you? Then I think also our boys and girls, then they feel something of the solemnity of such an evening. Then the Lord is telling us that everything here below comes to an end. Empty places have come in the family circles. Then the Lord has yet made a difference where there is no difference. Our text words begin with now. In this epistle, the books of Timothy and Titus, they are called the pastoral epistles, because Paul has written to Timothy and to Titus regarding the labors in the church. Then we have heard it that Paul has addressed Timothy, mine own son, in the faith. Then the ministry of Paul has been blessed in the life of Timothy. Then Timothy has become a spiritual son. What a privilege and what a blessing it is. There is rejoicing in the midst of a family circle when children may be born. What a rejoicing there can be in the church when sons and daughters are born in Zion, when boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and older ones may receive a new heart. And then concerning Timothy, then we read in the second epistle that Paul was given to state that without ceasing he remembered Timothy at the throne of grace. Those are special bonds that the Lord lays in the midst of his church. Then Paul was given to remember his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, and we read that Timothy, from a child, had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation. And then we have heard it after a salutation, then in the verses 4 through 11, then Paul was given to speak, to exhort and warn his spiritual son Timothy concerning false doctrine. And he continued his exhortations in verse 18. But then in the verses in between, then Paul has received an enlarged and burning heart concerning the things of the Lord, the wonders of free and sovereign grace. What a blessing for the true child of God when that wonder becomes new and when it only becomes greater. There was a great difference between the leadings of Timothy and Paul, but they were taught by the same Spirit, and they have both learned what sinners they were and that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was come to save his people from their sins. Oh, then for that Timothy, what a surprise it must have been to receive such a letter, because undoubtedly that Timothy thought of a spiritual father so holy it could even be congregation, boys and girls, when the Lord starts to work, that we are given to look upon some people of God. And although they speak of Romans 7, of that wretched man that we have so much respect that we do not really believe it. But now Timothy, then Paul, was given to write that he was still the chiefest of sinners. And then he is spoken of to special matters in his life, mercy and long-suffering. And now in this epistle, then in our text, then Paul is given to reflect, and our text words begin with now. There's also a now in this evening hour. Now we have nearly come to the end of another year. And then we do well to reflect concerning the swiftness of time. Then even our children shall have to say in this evening, and when we become older and busier, then it seems that time only goes faster, does not go faster, but it seems to be. And then our boys and girls, when you think back, then you shall have to agree that this year has quickly run its course. And that is a picture of our life now. Then at the end of this year, to consider that many, they were still upon the earth a year ago. Great multitudes, different reasons. Their life has come to an end. They could take nothing along. Their lot has been cast. They are in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. Now, then we are called to consider how it has been, how we have used our time, what a precious thing that time is. Only get to use it once. In time that shall not return, and it is time that the Lord grants unto us, that we may be given to seek and find the Lord. And now concerning that now, then the most important question is, what is the most important question, boys and girls? Think you know what it is. Whether the Lord has blessed His word, and whether you have received a new heart. Has that taken place, boys and girls? Have you now received a new heart that loves the Lord, hates sin, and that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Congregation, has it been a profitable and a good year for your soul? That is the most important matter for us and our children. Has the Lord blessed the means of grace? Now, then, especially in the context, because Paul, before our text, is given to mention the Lord's great mercy and his long-suffering, because we read in Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Then the Lord has granted many a blessing from day to day and from week to week. And now, how has it been under those blessings? Were there times that we have become small, a little bewilderment, and also concerning the long suffering of the Lord, that he hath not dealt according to our many and great sins? Has it now been the goodness of the Lord that worked that godly sorrow and that has led to repentance now upon all those labors? Have we been brought closer to the Word, or departed further away? Now, upon the callings, the Lord has knocked at the door of our heart so oftentimes. And how has it been with those callings and that knocking? Have we perhaps even said, Lord, at the moment I am too busy, so much to do? Do you think, congregation, when the angel of death comes, that you shall be asked whether you are too busy and that you have no time? Maybe, young people, I hope not, but that you have thought, I am still young. I still have plenty of time. How do you know that? Also for the youth, but one step between us and death. Maybe even some have said, Lord, I am not really interested. It's an awful thing. Or even that you said, Lord, I do not want to be troubled with those solemn things. I want to live for the time, seek it in the world. That is an awful thing. Then in the context, then it is Paul that is given to speak to his son Timothy. Now, concerning the Lord's mercy and concerning the long-suffering of the Lord, because Paul has stated, has never forgotten it, has remained a sorrow and a grief to the end of his life. Oh, Paul could tell us how that all the sins that they have been washed in that precious blood, Paul has come to the knowledge of the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But Paul oftentimes was given to meditate who he was, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Then Paul, with an enlarged heart, may be given to tell Timothy of that great wonder which has taken place, and what a precious text. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you hear, congregation? That name may still be declared. Then in this evening, the Lord still hangs out that white flag of peace. That poor sinners may come to declare that there is such an abundance of mercy. And Paul is given to declare, no sinner too great, no sinner too black, no sinner too vile. Have there come up sinners? How have we come up, congregation? In this evening hour, have there come up troubled souls? Souls still with the burden of their sin. They cannot deny what the Lord has done, but our sins, our sins. Then the question should be, congregation, where are the sins of this past year? Are they still all on our account, or have they been laid on the precious surety upon Christ Jesus, who has washed them away? And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There Paul is given to declare what we find in Romans 7. That is that tender, that is that close, and that is the true life of a child of God. And now that word now, that especially refers to the verse before, how be it for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Then, as it were, in Hebrews 11, there we read of that gallery of the heroes of faith. And so Paul may also be placed, to say it in human words, in a showcase, that sinners may be given to see of those who were saved. Oh, it is true also with Timothy, but also with Paul. And then he is not only given to speak of mercy, but show forth all long-suffering. and that long-suffering when the Lord converts a person, then there shall be much reflection upon the past. The long-suffering of the Lord, that place, that calling, special goodness, and that the Lord has not done away with them, the Lord has not destroyed, but that the Lord has kept, and that the Lord has spared. But we read of all long-suffering. And then Paul was not only given to speak of the past, but the Lord has a people upon the earth that is given at times to be wonder. The mercy and the patient long-suffering after grace received, that now that is a word of reflection, young and old, my travelers to that never-ending eternity. How has it now been in the past year under the Lord's goodness, callings, sickness, death, and above all, under the proclamation of His holy word. Now concerning that now, how is it now in our life? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, the Lord has put much dung around the tree of your life, and this evening He is looking for fruit. Ah, may you come in the need and given to beg the Lord Almighty, the God of all grace, for that wonderful work in your hearts. Our text that speaks of Paul, people of God, how has it been in the past year? The Lord's mercies, the Lord's long-suffering concerning the leadings, the Lord's speaking, the Lord's visits, and the exercises concerning His glory and the coming of His kingdom. That is our second thought. Let us first sing Psalter 427, the stanzas 1 and 8. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is He. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. And what follows, 427, 1 and 8. Thank you. a doxology concerning the King for examination on Old Year's Eve, a doxology upon deep reflection, and now secondly, a doxology with a royal address. And then we read, now unto the King eternal. It speaks of the King, the only King. When we speak of kingship, then there is also an essential kingship. When we speak of a triune God, the Father as Creator and in His providence, not excluding the Son and the Holy Spirit. But in our text words, then Paul is especially referring to Jesus Christ as that mediatorial King. And when Paul is given to address, then he is given to say unto the King, He is the only King. And then it is implied, Paul does not mention all the attributes of the King, but in 2 Timothy 6, verse 15, there Paul has written, who is the blessed, or 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And now, congregation, with our now, at the end of the year, who is our King? Whose banner are we under? Should be our main concern. Whose banner are we under at the close of this year? Are there souls that may believe and have hope that you are not under the same banner as you were at the beginning of this year? When the Lord works, then the Lord receives a very important place in our life. And now our text words, also for examination for the true people of God, because Christ has said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And now concerning who is our King, then we may ask a few simple questions. Who do we love? Have we learned, notwithstanding all our sin, to say with the Peter, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. Oh, that it is my vehement desire to be under Thy precious banner. And then there shall be obedience, exercises, much confession that we are not as subject as we ought to be. Can even be with the Peter that we deny, even ashamed, many times murmuring unbelief, and the list is long. But who have learned with Peter and the disciples to say, to To whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And what else? To be pardoned by the King in his priestly office. And then Paul has mentioned a few attributes. Now unto the King eternal. The Lord is from eternity to eternity. We had a beginning, but we shall never cease to exist. At the day of our death, the separation between body and soul, what a solemn moment that is. Do you sometimes think, congregation, what is it now to die? When that shall take place. We cannot fathom it. We cannot understand it. And what is the most important? Whether we are prepared. Whether the Lord has begun that good work. And we have come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, the King eternal. And we are also created for eternity. We need to be prepared. And then further, immortal, that means can never perish, can never come to naught, is unchangeable, invisible. John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and concerning Christ, then with his Godhead, his majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from his church. With his human nature, he is in heaven. And then Paul further, the only wise God. The knowledge of the Lord is perfect, infinite, unchangeable, and eternal. It is true in the Scriptures that many times knowledge and wisdom is used interchangeably. But we may say that wisdom, that is the proper use of knowledge. To make it simple for the boys and girls, when a child is instructed that fire is hot, dangerous, and that burns. And then such a child must use that knowledge in the way of wisdom, that he does not put his hand in a fire. A simple example. All we read of that true wisdom in Proverbs 1 verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now concerning that only wise God, that he doeth all things well in the way of his providence. Lord's Day number 10 is what the Spirit teaches his child, to be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all things for the future, to trust in the Lord. What a grace to be given to trust. But when we read that Paul was given to speak of that only wise God, then that now especially refers that the Lord has thought out a way already in eternity for the church to be saved. with the upholding and harmonizing of all the Lord's attributes. And now concerning that great God, and now with that now, then it was the vehement yearning of Paul. And then we read in our text words, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Has that been our exercises in the past year? Have there been times that we have truly become exercised with the honor and glory of that great, that glorious, majestic, eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God? That already takes place when the Lord begins that good work, as the Lord begun. When the Lord works by His Spirit, and He draws with love, and we receive an impression who that great God is, and our sinnership, then we become exercised with the first and the second petition. When a child is born, then a child does not speak immediately, is given to cry. Oh, there are some children that cry very much. Parents can even be at their wits' end. But now when a child is born, it's also for instruction, because those children do more than cry. Of course, they hunger after milk, after their mother. But many times it is astonishing and surprising when you hold a little child that is not so old, that they are also given to smile, sometime with their eyes closed, that they are happy and they are content. And so it is in the work of grace. Ah, then those souls, it's true, given to mourn over their sins, their missing, that they are grieved, but they are given to experience the good things of the Lord, the blessedness of the service of the Lord. And then they shall also be speaking, that they shall be given to speak to their fellow man, because congregation, when we learn how lost we are, when we are given to see that the natural man lives in the city of destruction, when we are given to behold the blessedness of the people of God, then there are times that in the beginning that those souls are given to speak, given to warn, given to admonish. Then those souls, they become jealous of the Lord's honor. Oh, then even when they feel so unconverted, and that is a paradox, then they have such a desire that all people would be converted, the family circle and the congregation. And then they are grieved because they read in Psalm 119, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. Then it becomes unto him be honor and glory. Then they have that vehement desire, that also their fellow man. Oh, it begins with himself, but then they have the desire that all people would follow hard after the Lord, that all people would have God's word as their guide and as their rule. Then it becomes their desire that all people faithfully come up to God's house. Then it becomes the exercise of Paul. But that is not only in the beginning, that is in the continuance, because Paul has written this letter in approximately the year 63-64 A.D. It was after he was released from Rome from his first imprisonment, before his second imprisonment. Thus Paul had been on the way many years, and now concerning that now, then we read, be honor and glory forever and ever. God's people may have a little beginning here below. Congregation, the solemn question, the most important question. We read in 2 Kings 4, verse 26, that the prophet Elisha saw that Shunammite woman coming. Had to be a special reason. And then the prophet sent Gehazi with that solemn question. You know what that question is, congregation, boys and girls? What was that question? Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Give an answer to the Lord as you sit in your bench. If it is well, congregation, then there shall be a now of reflection continually. And that humbles, that brings low, that gives me wonderment. Paul, many years after he has been stopped, oh, by renewal, those are blessed places, given to reflect, given to be wonder, Almighty grace, is it well with thee? We need to be born again. We need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband, thy wife? How is it, husbands and wives? Is that not a fitting question? Is it well with the child? Is it well with our children? Unto him be honor and glory forever and ever. God's people, they may have a little beginning here below. What they hope to do in eternity before the throne. Because for an unconverted person, my unconverted fellow travelers, Do you think much of heaven and hell? No one likes to go to hell, such a terrible place. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. We would like to stay on earth. That is impossible. And for the unconverted, they would not feel at home in heaven. Oh, for the church of God, there will come a time when they shall be delivered. In the first place, from the self, from the devil, and from the world. And then they shall be given to join that holy throng. We read thereof in Revelation 7, verse 12. Oh, when John was given to see that great multitude, small and great, from all people, shall we be among them? Are we among them? And then he was given to see that they were clothed in robes, refers to a long robe, with palm branches in their hand, and that the saints, together with the angels, that they were given to sing, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we soon hope to leave one another. We may acknowledge that for another year, although with many shortcomings, that thou which hast given a word to speak, and thou hast declared that by the foolishness of preaching, that saved sinners shall be saved. Ah, Lord, may that also take place in the last hours of this year. And wilt thou remember thy people? Wilt thou now graciously watch over us the last hours of this year, to be given to keep the Sabbath day holy? Wilt thou grant unto fathers and mothers that they yet may be given to speak some words with their children, husband and wife together, before we are given to go to bed? A grand prayer for one another, and may it please thee to gather us together in thy house to commence another year, to try to humbly ask thee for thy wonderful works in the hearts of us and our children. Lord, pardon us of our many sins, also officially. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 196, the two stanzas. Blessed be the Lord, our Father's God, eternal King of kings, who only is omnipotent, performing wondrous things, and what follows, 196, the two stanzas. in the year of our Lord 2023. It has pleased the Lord to take out of the midst of the congregation by the hand of death. On October 16, Mrs. Judith Overeem, our oldest member, at the age of 90. On November 30, Mrs. Afiva Gardren, at the age of 68 years. May the Lord remember, uphold, and comfort all the mourning families and sanctify the callings. To that end, let us sing together standing from Psalter 422, the 8th stanza. 422, stanza 8. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain? Who can in this dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? O Lord, recall thy love, thy words to David spoken, sustain us as of yore by covenant oaths unbroken. Psalter 422, the 8th stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.